I'm all for that. I'm all for everyone saying what's on their heart. And I've said this long ago when Facebook started blowing up. That is not a platform. A platform is where somebody can keep you accountable. Too many people are on there showing things to you, and you're developing a mindset based on what you see. Life matters. It's not about the color of our skin. It's not about our religious beliefs. It's not about what we believe is right in our eyes. Life matters, period. And it sickens me to see that what is taking place is that life is no longer valued. I've contemplated whether or not to even get off track with this Psalm 91, but the Lord had put this in my spirit 2 weeks ago. He said, teach them about Psalm 91. Something is coming, folks. You think this is bad. It's worse than you've ever experienced in your life. This is the precursor of what's to come. I've said it from day one. You better learn how to pray. If you want to play with God, the enemy knows when you're honest, when you're true, and when you're just playing. We're fighting not against flesh and blood, but we're taking it out on flesh and blood. Josh, I'm just going to have you to play right now. The Bible says we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers in high places. It's a spiritual thing. But the trick of the enemy is to get you to respond to the flesh. And when you respond to the flesh, you're going to cause more problems to yourself. You know, I used to love to play with all kinds of toys. And we used to play cops and robbers, you know, cousins of mine. We used to make our own guns. And I mean, made out of wood and rubber bands and clothespins. And, you know, we got very creative in it. And we never looked at it as killing someone that was innocent. The cops chased the robbers. We were the robbers. And usually I was the cop. I wanted to be the good guy. But there was purpose behind my pursuit. You understand? And it seems like the pursuit now is to pursue what we desire. Whether it has morals, whether our character is being challenged or not, we want what we want when we want it. And this is based upon the influence of society. When we fight against an enemy, we have to know the enemy's tactics. He's not coming right to your face to tell you what you need to do. He's been in your life for a very long time. He's been influencing you from the day that you were born. He's been influencing lineages before us. He's been doing things to make us do the things that he desires for us to do. We're fighting against an enemy that is united, not divided. We're fighting against an enemy that knows how to stand together against the people of God, and they don't argue amongst themselves, but we can't get the church to stand together and fight together against a united front, and we wonder why the church is not progressing, why the church is not, it's not about filling up the seats, it's about changing people's lives so they can see that life matters. Why is it that we have to wonder why is it wrong to kill someone? You should never want to kill someone. thou shalt not kill. Period. It didn't say thou shalt not kill African Americans. Period. Thou shalt not kill. We think racism has to do with the color of our skin. Racism started back in the very beginning, what separated us from God. Human race being divided from the kingdom of God. And it was done by deception. It was done in a garden where seeds were deposited and it began to produce long ago before we were came into this system. But here we are watching all these things, things that doesn't make sense to us, but we don't ever raise a voice. Now, you have all these demonstrations all over the place. People marching, people making a noise now. Where was it long ago when things were already going bad? Where was the church then? The church has been so quiet because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want to tell you the truth because we're afraid you're going to take your tithes and your offering and leave. I have never, ever, ever said that God, you're not my provider, my church is. God provides. He provides for you. And whatever you're in need of, and if you don't have it, it doesn't fall from heaven. It comes from people. It comes from people. We're killing off our own blessing, our own sources, that God is saying, I want to bless you. I just read it to you on Wednesday. Oh my God. I don't even want to get started yet. He says, you have killed my prophets and those that I've sent to you to help you. We're so caught up with doing everything in our emotions that we don't even think to use our moral compass. Why? Because morals have gone out the window a long time ago. We should never, ever be thinking about, well, should I sleep with Sister So-and-so? I know she married, I know he married, but it don't matter. We've let all that go out the window. And we call it church. We got more preachers divorcing and marrying somebody else, their own secretaries in the church. More people in clergy having affairs in the church. No wonder why the enemy says, I don't even have to mess with the church no more. They messed up and jacked up from get-go. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to stand up and speak truth. And when you speak truth, it'll set you free. You may not like it. I don't like to be told the truth. I get mad when I get told the truth. So do you. Don't look at me strange. Someone tell you, you've been acting a little crazy. Oh, no, I haven't. No, I have not. You've just misunderstood me. The reality is nobody likes to be told truth. We wonder why our children act crazy. Did I ever act crazy? Well, no, I won't answer. Y'all know, I'll give you all my stories. Talk about my mom, how she was like, oh, Lord. But if we ever raise our voice to our parents, you knew what was coming before it even came. By a look. Nowadays, we get kids wanting to start popping off at the gun. You don't own me. Oh, yes, I do own you. You want long life, like the Bible says? You honor me. You listen. We wonder why nowadays we can't even... We can't even spank our children. They're going to call CPS. They got it on speed dial. Call them. You might as well call 911 while you're at it. They might want to put me in jail, but you're going to go to the hospital before I go to jail. Y'all looking at me like, oh, Pastor, we should be in solidarity right now. I have been crying too much. But when are the tears going to stop and action's going to start? When are we going to take a stand and say enough is enough? When something's broke, you fix it. But how can you fix something when you don't know where it's broken? Oh, we can start pointing fingers. Oh, it's because the absentee father. I don't know about you. My daddy's gone with the Lord. But I got a daddy. I got a father that calls me and checks on me. See, all it takes is someone to care about somebody else. I say, baby, you're going the wrong way. You need to stop what you're doing. You're not my daddy. No, but if your daddy was here and had the right mind and listened to the Bible, he would tell you this. You see, we're so scared to tell people something when they're doing wrong. So what did that do? That foothold has become a stronghold over a system. We need to quit trying to be so polite and thinking that the church has to be politically correct. Jesus went into the synagogue and started throwing tables over, started changing things right there, started casting things out. He finally had enough. That wasn't the first time he seen them in there. When is enough enough? Every life on this earth matters. The reason why we become so numb to what is going on, every time you turn on the television, on the news, what do you hear? Killings, stabbings. So you become numb to it. There was another life. There was a warning that went out a long time ago. It's when the Bible was taken out of schools. Prayer was taken out of school. They started trying to take God off of everything. But yet, we have atheists who say they don't believe in God, but they'll spend the money on God we trust. But the church has sat back and done nothing. Now, I'll take myself out of a pastor's role. I'll just put myself as a father and a husband. Looking into the church, I could see why the church didn't have a voice. For the longest time, it was about building their own kingdom. Getting their own money, their own jets, their own cars, their own mansions in different parts of the country. When do we take our focus off of the kingdom and make it our own kingdom? It's when we started serving mammon. It was a spirit. I could see why government officials said, oh, if we could get this big name to endorse us, we get those thousands of followers that they have. It was always supposed to be a separation of church and state. But it was when the pastors, church leaders, saw fit to be a voice into the government when the government never wanted the voice. They just wanted the votes. Influence. Influence. We need to make a stand and make a change. And we need to make a change with us first. Don't point your fingers at the police officers. Don't do that. Because you're following the propaganda that is out there to begin with. You're following and listening to a lie. Yes, people are getting hurt, but it ain't only African Americans. There's a lot of folks that you ain't seen yet. What about the people in other countries that are being murdered, slaughtered? We become numb to it. Why? Well, I can't control it over there. You can control anything with prayer. Anything. The problem is the church has lost its position and is not praying anymore. I've been saying it for I don't know how long. I've been saying that if we could have intercessors that learn how to stay put until they feel the release. Now we got intercessors that don't want to be woken up in the middle of the night and pray. They want to say, amen, Lord, rabba, sakaba, and amen. When we had intercessors before, they wouldn't get up off the ground. That they would pray through. As a matter of fact, they would go through days without food and water doing what the Lord said. When we would see that, we would have revival in the land. People get healed. Territories would change. We don't have revival anymore. We have makeshift tent revivals, calling it revival, but it ain't nothing changing. Started. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Some of the things I'm going to say here, I'm saying as a husband and as a father. May not be Bible. Don't get mad at me. I get enough texts and emails and Facebook comments. Keep them to yourself. I'm saying this for a reason. When you're tired and you're fed up, it's time to get all that stuff out, and we need to make a change. If you don't like what I'm about to tell you, just pray for your pastor. Pray for this man right here, because I about had enough. I shouldn't be worried about when I'm driving down the road what's going to happen next, whether it's to me, my child, my wife, my mom, my dad. I should be looking and saying, there is an officer of the law that is there to serve and to protect. Now, don't get me twisted. I know they have enough to deal with. Our police headquarters were shot at last night from an alley. That's cowards acting out based on what they see and what they've heard. We've got to stop all this. That is someone's child. That is someone's husband, wife. That is a loved one whose life has value. We need to stop what we're doing. Right? We agree? We need to stop hurting life, correct? We quit hurting people that matter, correct? Then we need to quit talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to quit talking about other religions. We need to quit talking about other things that make no sense to you. Maybe you just haven't got the understanding yet of what they believe. Maybe you just need to get to know somebody else other than your own kind. There is so much more out there. So much more. I talked to my son in Kenya, and he says, "Are you okay, Dad?" He calls me Dad. "Are you okay? I know what's going on over there. Are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm good." He says, "I know what it's like to have mass killings, and there's nothing you can do about it. I just want to make sure you're okay. We're praying for America." And here I am thinking, here we are, supposedly in the wealthiest country. In the wealthiest country, the land of the free. But to me, it seems like it's in Egypt all over again, following a system. I'm not going to be on this soapbox long. I'm going to teach you something today. But we have to desire to love one another. One of the things the Lord told me, that when you start this church, sir, you're going to love the people. Even your enemies. You think you have enemies? Start speaking truth. Oh, they come at you from all different sides. And then they hold you as a different expectation than everybody else. "I know you're going through something, but I needed you." Really? I'm human. My wife and I have emotions. Just because I'm not there for you 24/7 doesn't mean I'm not praying for you. Doesn't mean that I'm not taking you before the Lord and saying, "Lord, help them with whatever their needs are." I may not be able to answer every text. And some of y'all will receive texts from me, one-liners, y'all know it. Or an email. If I respond more than one paragraph, it's because I sat down. I said, "Lord, let me rest. And let me respond appropriately." But I hear through many different avenues that many are praying. They're sensing in the atmosphere what is going on. But they don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. For me to stand up here and tell you this, this, and that, be a lie. I don't have the answers. Only God does. What I told you on Wednesday night, I gave that illustration. When we go into the secret place, His light shines through us and it casts out the darkness. We have to learn to get into His presence, His abiding presence, where He abodes, where He lives and dwells. Now, with all the religious mindsets in here, yes, I know He lives in us, but how much time do you take to spend with Him? Well, I got a busy schedule. There's 24 hours in a day for everyone. What are you going to do? I've been thinking that my dog, Teddy, and some of y'all know, some of y'all don't know, one of our four-legged children passed away. And it's been rough for us because some of you remember when I said that, you know, couldn't it have been a different one? Not the one that was loving. Not the one that would always greet you at the door, wagging tail, looking to just love on you. Why not the one that is always attacking? The one that is standoffish. So Teddy is the brother. That's the only one we have left. When his brother died, he reacted differently. Here's what I want to share with you real quick, and then I'll get into the message. If you need to get out of here by 12, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. If you got to go, you got to go. I understand that. But even the dog responds to a loss of life. And it's hard. How is it that the animals know how to respect life, but we can't? And we have the manual of instruction to love one another. Love God with all your heart, all your might, and all your strength. Love your neighbor likewise. But the animal does it immediately. Because it doesn't have to forgive. It already does it. There was a comic strip I read one day. Let's put a dog and a wife in a trunk and lock them in there. Who's going to be happy to see you when you open that trunk? The dog. Pretty bad illustration, isn't it? But because we harbor our feelings, it puts us in bondage. Where a dog just loves and is loyal and is obedient. My dog Teddy has been getting up at 4:30 every morning. That's not his norm. I was getting frustrated for a while. Wake up with bed hair, you know, it's all over the place. Stumbling down the stairs just to get him outside because he's got to go pee. I let him outside and then I'm wide awake. Like, are you serious? And so I started staying on the couch from 4:30 to 6:30. Times I would fall asleep, other times I would just stare. And I would stare out the window like in despair. And it was usually because of my circumstances. And then it shifted. And I started looking out the window saying, where's the opportunities, God? Not just for me, but for your people. Because outside of every window, there's opportunity. And I started praying for all different people. I started praying for the churches we visited in Kenya. Got to the point I quit praying for my needs. And I started praying for others. I said, God, you've got me up for a reason. I'm tired. Y'all see the bags under my eyes? Can't sleep. Tossing and turning. Aching and in pain. Where's this coming from, God? Too young to go through this. He says, you're carrying a load that I didn't want you to carry. I need you to learn to just get in my presence and sit. So in the past 2 weeks, I've been getting up at 4:30 with Teddy. And now I sit. And I don't bring anything before the Lord other than just worship. And it's been a time of refreshing for me. But why so early? And that's when the Lord showed me the other day. He says, I want you to study Psalm 91. And tell the people that I have already dealt with the issues that are about to arise. I have scripture for every single thing that is under the sun. I will never be caught off guard. I always know what's about to happen. Some things happen because of the will of man, but we blame God. And I told the Lord, I don't want to go through this study because of what's coming. What I say, once you learn something and you hear something, you're going to be tested in it. So when I started reading Psalm 91, I was like, no. I don't want to go through this, God. Just teach them because they're going to need it. I taught on Wednesday about the protection, being under his presence in the mercy seat. And to come to find out that things were taking place up in Dallas. But the shooters were in a high tower, high place. Life has been cut short for police officers, young men, young women, all across the land. But I have something that I want to share that I believe is going to help us to understand why. Amen. I appreciate you for letting me pastor you as a congregation, but allow me to be a man. You know, I take great joy in hearing a lot of the testimonies from a lot of the individuals in here and what God has done. And when I see God make change in people's life, it blesses me and my wife so much. I may not have a big ministry. I may not have a lot. And one thing I do have is Him. We have to continue to fight the good fight of faith together as a people. But before I go into any battle, about this last night at my son's apartment, we were watching the MMA fights, whatever. Before every bout, they gave an excerpt of each opponent. That's when the Lord told me, know your opponent. Know your opponent. You'll know how to fight. So get your Bibles if you would please. Can you please? I love that sound. Thank you. Go to the next slide real quick, Trey. I don't know if you can see. Go ahead and cut off these overhead lights. Cut the front lights off, Jonathan, please. The front ones. Should be the top switch. Next slide. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. You can turn there or you can read it from the screen. It's kind of small print. Just as a body though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Please let that resonate in your spirit. It is our differences that make us great. It is our different culture that makes us wonderful. It is understanding that in our differences, we can do greater things together instead of apart. Someone may be weak, but somebody else is strong in that area. We have to learn to let our weaknesses be the thing that we reach out for someone else to help us in, and let pride go. I don't have answers. You don't have all the answers. But somebody maybe sitting next to you has an answer for you. But if you don't ask, you don't receive. So in this time, I want you to keep that in mind, that we are made up of many different parts in the body. It says some Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free. We make up the body of Christ together. Together we make up a great kingdom that is becoming united. Unfortunately, it's united mostly when tragedy comes. But I know that God is going to turn this thing around. He didn't cause it and He didn't send it. But He's going to use it for His good. He's going to turn things around. He's going to share some things in your spirit to have an understanding that your life matters in everything that you do. Here's what I believe that is going to take place in this season. Jonathan, you can turn on the front light. And you can go to the next slide, sir, and just leave it there. Just leave it there. What must we do in this season? We need reformation. Reformation means making change to something with the intention to setting it back on the right path. It's the act or process of changing religious, political, or societal systems or institutions. Beloved, the system is broke, and it needs attention now. We must troubleshoot where it all started. There is twice in Scripture that Satan himself was made manifest. The first one is in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, we see Satan himself with Adam and Eve. But in that garden, all provision and identity was there. So what did the enemy come to attack? Provision and identity. When the devil came into the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had plenty of food and water, an easy job, plenty of free time, and there was an absence of war, an absence of hatred, an absence of evil, and an absence of fear. When fear sets in, it breeds. We feed it with imagery and whatever we hear. The imagery of what we see on television or what we see on the internet, we feed that fear. Whether it be through entertainment that we hear the lyrics through songs, or we see how it's being displayed, we begin to look at that imagery and it begins to feed the very fear that is deep within inside of us. And we feed that more than we feed our faith. We have to starve out fear with the Word of God. We need to starve fear and feed the faith with the Word that God has already positioned for us to understand that it is living, present, in every time in your life. There is a Word of God for your circumstance. If you feed the very fear that is coming at you, that you don't want to submit or you don't want to go through the things of God because of what may happen, that is a fear of future. That is a fear of promotion. That is a fear of something that you're not accustomed to. And you have to let that fear go. It came from somewhere. It came in the garden. It is in the garden where seed is deposited and it produces after its kind. Fear breeds a defense mechanism. It paralyzes. It makes you to become offensive to others. You will take the stand to hurt others before you get hurt. Fear will make you live a double standard where it's okay for you but not for others. Fear breeds after its kind. Adam and Eve had not yet experienced fear or evil or to even know the difference. There was no need for discerning, for everything that was there in its original intent was beautiful and fulfilled. The deception came in to tell Adam and Eve they need more. Genesis 3:1, if you would turn there. We should know it by now. It's the first book in the Bible. Genesis, the beginning. Chapter 3, verse 1, I'll begin reading. And then we'll continue on. In Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it, nor touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in that day you will eat from it, and your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The first message from Satan to man is what has God provided and ordained is not enough for smart people just like you. The message was, you can't be content and satisfied. You deserve more. If you've already been established by God and I've given you all the provisions you'll ever need, just don't go and get that one. Our human nature is to go and do the very thing that we're told not to do. Right? We would say yes. That human nature was not in us at the beginning. Because it's not human nature. It is the nature of deception that says that. So he used that. You have everything. You need nothing. But you should want more. Greed. If I had every enchilada known to mankind, with rice and beans and tortillas and hot sauce and pico de gallo, but of the special enchilada that I didn't have, I would want. Did you see what the enemy did? I know you have all of this. But what you don't have is that. See where the desire came in? To always want more than what you need. It started in the garden. You think all these rappers today that are on the radio or on video nowadays is because they want to get all this bling. They want to get all these nice cars and mansions and stuff. That started back in the garden. See, when music originally came out, music was about something that would encourage you. It was music that would entertain you to the point that would make you feel good. And then somewhere along the line, it shifted to, I want more. I'm being oppressed. I'm being controlled. I can't say what I want to say. You shouldn't be cursing anyway. You shouldn't be using the Lord's name in vain anyway. You shouldn't be saying that we got to go and kill so-and-so. Pull out a 9, pull out a Glock. You shouldn't be. Nowadays, it's okay to be promiscuous. It ain't enough to just wait till marriage. We got to test drive the car. Lord Jesus, help us. Well, I'm just falling out of love. You don't know what love is then. Oh, it's just not happening for me. Where your eyes been? Do you understand? What's that song that Chris Brown sings now? Grass isn't greener. Or what is it? The grass isn't greener. On the other side. You still got to mow it and till it and fertilize it. But we've grown up in a society that somebody always wants more. Got a million? What is it? There was a drug bust and there was how many millions in the walls? 24 million in the walls. Cash. Lord says that you store up the wealth of the wicked for the righteous. I say bring down the walls. Bring down the walls. But here's the thing. But they're still out doing it and they're not enjoying what they have already, but they still want to get more. We should want more of God. You see, even when Adam and Eve messed up, God still came into the garden to fellowship. Where did this nonsense come from, saying that I'm a sinner and God's not going to come and bless me? That's not true. They sinned when they disobeyed God, but he still came to fellowship. He was showing the unconditional love then in the garden, saying, it doesn't matter when you mess up, I'm right there. But I'm going to tell you that you got to get up from your mess up and make change and don't do it again. Don't want more of the sin. Don't want more of the things that separate me and you. You should want more of me and turn away from that thing that has caused you and I to separate. So what was being done in the garden? He was challenging our identity in him. He was challenging whether or not will we be satisfied with the abundance that God has already given us. Are you hearing this? Out of all the trees in the garden, eat all the fruit you want. But if God would have never said but, right? Because it cancels everything else out. No. Adam and Eve didn't even have within them the nature of sin. They didn't even have within them any type of anything other than the very nature of God. But it was an outside influence that became a foothold that later became the stronghold for the people of God. Always wanting more. More. Got two people living in a 6-bedroom house. 6-bedroom house, 6 full bath, and only 2 of them in there. Got 4 cars. Ain't nothing wrong with being blessed. But that blessing, the Bible says, is so that you could be a blessing. Don't get it all twisted. Look, if you work hard 40 hours, 50, 60, 70 hours, I don't care. Get your money, get paid. You've earned it. Work for it. You're working, right? But here's what the Bible tells me. That his original intent for me was to be blessed and have abundance around me. And anything that I needed was already there. I didn't even have to ask. The system is broke. It's broke. We let the foothold become the stronghold. So the enemy, Satan himself, shows up in the very beginning. You would think that this word of God, maybe Satan's not going to show up till later. Genesis 3, he shows up. Right away, Satan himself shows up. When did he show up? After provision was established. Y'all make me work this thing today. After provision is established, Josh, that means you've already been promoted. You've already got your increase. Everything that you have desired is already there for you. Now the enemy wants to show up. Now he wants to show up and try to get you to get tripped up. What is God's original intent? To keep you blessed. We don't have a sinful nature. That came from the outside. That came from deception. Everybody says, oh, we were born into sin. Okay, because of Adam and Eve, we are born in. But because of Jesus, that sinful nature has been done away with. So when people say, well, we're all sinners. No. Don't you call me no sinner. We about to throw down. Just plain kidding. I may do something that makes me miss the mark. And you try to label it as this, 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 and that. But the price has been paid. That tells me I'm being reformed back to my original state. My job is not to continually do it again. That's your job too. You know that, right? Yeah, our job is not to go back and do it over and over and over again. Lord, forgive me. I'll be back next week. Lord, forgive me. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be right back. Forgive me, Lord. You're not changing. You're using grace. You have to understand what grace is. Grace is the empowering presence of God to give you the ability to accomplish His purpose. That's what grace is. Grace is not, oh, I've sinned. Thank you for your grace. That's not the empowering presence of God to accomplish what God wanted you to do and intended for you to do. That's mercy. That He did not kill you. I've said it before. What if grace and mercy was lifted? You start walking in the church, immediately we'd be people falling out dead right there. Did you see Sister Boop? What happened to Bayan? She started talking about Pastor the way he was dressed. I never lost my train of thought. Bayan, see what you did, Bayan. We just need to understand that grace is to empower us to do God's will. And quit using it as if that's my ticket to go and do what I want to do and go back before the cross again. We need to make change in our life so that this way, things like this don't take place again in society. The system is broke. Now, what system is being attacked here? The system of provision and the system that God has provided. That was one system. The second time that Satan entered into Scripture himself was in the wilderness with Jesus. Turn with me to Luke 4, please. Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to break it down, then I'm going to move on a little bit quickly. I don't want to keep you guys too long. Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." Verse 5. Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning to guard you carefully, that you will lift up your, they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "Do not put the Lord God to the test." When the devil had finished tempting, he left him until an opportune time. I want you to go ahead and look back to verse 3. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God. What is he tempting again? Identity. What is he trying to establish? Whose identity? Is it really the Son of God? Anytime that you come in contact with a influential spirit or demon, it's going to attack your identity in Christ. Every single time. And it came when he was tempted. Where? In the wilderness? Where was the wilderness? In the desert. North of the Dead Sea. Where nothing is fertile. Nothing is growing. Nothing is producing. Nothing is there for shade or protection. When you're in the wilderness, ain't nothing going on in your life other than your stress and your temptation. Things around you may seem dead. They may seem like they're not being fruitful. They may seem like things are not going to work out on your behalf. That's when the enemy comes in. See, he comes in when you're hungry. But the hunger is not always about the food. Some of the hunger comes back from the influence of the foothold is, I want more. I want more. So he tempts with the identity in that system. And then next thing in verse 5, he says, then the devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. He said to him, I will give you all authority and splendor. What we're witnessing in today's society is people are using their authority wrong. It started a long time ago in the church. The church authority began to do things to the people that were trying to be obedient, trying to be submissive, and the authority in the church took advantage of it and used the authority and used their position and kept them in bondage as opposed to liberating them and setting them free. Kept them within a system of being a slave. We see that all through scriptures when the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted to put Jesus in prison and have him crucified. They didn't want the truth to be told. Because the truth challenged their identity. You act like you're so religious, but you do nothing of the sort to be relational. Because if you were relational with my Father, you would know who sent me. Do you understand? So what is the enemy going to do within that system where you're being tempted in your desert season? He's going to check your identity to see if you're truly a worshiper of the Lord. What if I give you all of this and you have power? I don't know. Tony Montana wanted power. Remember that Scarface? Once you get the money, you get the power. Well, all that money and power got him killed. But what has happened is society has made us see some things and influence us to believe that when we have more money, we have more power. But the government does the same thing. The government wants more of your dollars to control you. It's a free country? No, I got to pay to be here. I got to pay to work. Oh, it's a separation of church and state. No, you want my tax dollars here too. You want me to pay taxes and it's supposed to be separate. And then you're going to tell me what to preach and what not to preach. Then you're going to tell me I can't call sin sin. Then you're going to tell me that if I see someone come in and they decide they want to go to the women's restroom but they're a man, I can't say nothing. Hell to the no. Don't you dare come and tell me that I can let anybody walk into those restrooms when there's a child in there. I'm going to protect the child. I'm going to protect the people in this house. I'm going to protect you. Why? Because there's a standard that we must live to. And that standard is the Word of God. You don't come in here and being so confused about your identity. Let me tell you who you are. God made you a man. You're a man. That ain't a spirit or a chromosome saying that, I don't know, I have these women tendencies. No, it's an influence. It was a stronghold that tested your identity. And then you want to know, well, I don't know why I like men and I'm a man. It's because of the influence around you. You got to get out from that. You need deliverance. God wants to go ahead and reform you back to the original state. I get so tired of people saying there's a chromosome out of whack. God didn't make a mistake. When he made you in his image. Now maybe someone cursed you in the womb. Oh, I'm just trying to preach in here a little bit. You want to walk in and say, you got to change the restroom so you can make it more applicable for the people that are confused. No, confusion's not of God. Get them to the altar. I'll get them unconfused. I'll deliver that demon of confusion out of them. We want to walk around. We only talk about the LGBT. Really? You confused. It's a spirit. Yes, I love you. I hate that spirit. They're great people. I know it. They're people of God. You got people saying, well, but how can they be a people of God? And then they're this and then they're that. Because God made them. He made them in his image. They're confused by a spirit that lied to them about their identity. It happened to us long ago where there was a violation that took place. Yeah, I've had to counsel some folks and they tell me, well, you don't understand, nothing happened to me like that. Well, then what happened to you when you were 6 years old and this happened to you and this happened to you? And how'd you know that? I didn't know it, but God knew it. God sees all things. You got to get to the root of the thing so you can get rid of the thing, so you can fix the system that is broke. This whole thing that's going out here in this world is not going to be fixed if we don't go right to the root of it. And the root of it is everybody wants more. I want more respect. Give respect. I want more love. Show love. I want more money. Show money. Oh, you know what? I need to get my bills paid. Get a job. Well, I don't have enough money for food. I need to be on WIC. I need to be on food stamps. Get off of the system and make a change. Don't get me wrong. Don't get this all crazy. Oh, Pastor, you just went off of people. You know what? You were just venting. No, I wasn't. I've been on WIC. I've been on food stamps. And I've been without. I've been homeless. I've been where I have my kids in the back of a truck. And me and my wife and my daughter are sitting there. We're crammed in together. But my boys have to be behind in the back of the truck underneath the blanket. Because that's all we had. No AC working either. We've had things taken from us. And there was a time that we needed a little bit of help. But that's not what's going to identify me as someone that's in the system. I'm getting out of that system that's broke to begin with. You know, tell me that in a system like that, that it's okay to have more babies and get a raise. Get a job. Go to work. Get an education. Make something better for yourself. Don't stay within a system that keeps you like a slave. Hallelujah. We're going to be empty here next week, baby, I guess. I don't know. Pastor, you stepped on my toes. Pick up your feet. The system is broke. Identity is being challenged. Verse 5 is talking about, I'm going to give you power and authority. I'll give you everything in it. You can't give me what's already been given to me. You can't give me what God said I already have. You can't give to me that what's not in your control. God controls everything under the heavens. Everything. He orders my steps. So the enemy knows you're walking down the path of righteousness. Here comes the devil to trip you up. Oh, Jesus. Where's my white flag? The church has been waving the white flag as a banner. No, the church has been surrendering to society. The church has been surrendering to what the people want to hear. I'm going to tell you every good scripture that's going to 7 steps to make you a millionaire. I'll tell you the first one. Get connected to the millionaire. That's the first step. Every other step after that, he orders them. Waving the white flag. The church, I surrender. I quit. People are just, they're too mean. And Jesus has it. His insight from the Lord God himself It says they persecute you, not for you, but because of me. But we don't like it because our feelings get hurt. Have you ever acted out of your emotions? It's usually a response. We respond because someone did something to us. How do you respond when God tells you the truth in your life? I don't say amen. I'll tell you that right now, because when he shows me more of me, I didn't know it was there. He goes, yes, you did. I didn't know. Yes, you did. How do you know I know? Because every time you deal with it, you run away from it. This church will be a church as a whole, not just House Man. The church of God is going to turn things around to its original intent, to its former glory, for the way it's supposed to be. If you're being tempted in your wilderness experience, I just want you to remember one thing, that the angels are there to lift you up. Jesus was higher than the angels, but he submitted to the angels that he created to serve him. If Jesus can surrender and submit to what he created, why can't we learn to submit? Oh, but you know, I've been in the ministry so long, and you're still right there, huh? Still ain't doing what you're supposed to do. You're still praying about everything that God tells you to do. I want to pray about it. How long are you going to pray and let that thing pass you by? People are needed in this hour to do the very things of God. There's a dying world out there. Literally. Maybe we're just here to maybe be the mothers in the house. As a matter of fact, why don't the mothers of the house stand up? Stand up, stand up. Mama, stand up. Say this to you, I'm going to charge you. There's a generation that needs your guidance. They need your guidance. A generation that says, I may not have a mama, but I need someone to mother me. That don't mean you're going to tell them what they want to hear. You're going to speak truth. That's what mothers do. The mothers in the house of God, they look after our young. Grab a hold of the young women, the young boys as well. Settle down, sit down, be still. Quit acting that way. Matter of fact, don't even look at your mama or your daddy that way. Again, learn to respect. That's what mothers in the house do. Charge you of God's mercies to mother the people of God. Not just in the church, but wherever you're at. How do you mother? In love. In love. You may be seated. Stand up, elder. You're the elder of this house. As an elder in the kingdom of God, you have a responsibility for the truth of the gospel. How the actions of those and the leaders, of those within the church, to respond to the things of God. You have a responsibility. I charge you in view of God's mercies to elder the people. Lead them in the ways of the Lord. Encourage them and love them. Teach them. That's who you are in the body of Christ. Teach them. Show them. You're empowered by God to do so. That's scripture. That's Bible. I bless you, sir. We're not going to go down this road again. We're going to make change. All authority and splendor is what he wants to give. There's a society and a generation that is looking for more, and they want notoriety. They want to be recognized. Not only do they want to be recognized, but they want power and authority themselves. But they don't know how to submit to authority. So what we see that goes on in the streets out there is people not knowing how to submit to authority, as well as those that are in authority not knowing how to use their authority right. For any official that has a badge and has authority, your authority is to teach and to cover and to protect. Teach people how to submit to authority, not make them submit. But if in our household as family members, we don't teach our children to submit, they'll never submit out in the world, on the streets. They will submit to the streets and not the authority in the home. And then they'll turn to, well, my friends, they got my back. Let trouble start. Your friends are going to be gone. You're going to learn it the hard way. Your friends will leave you. Leave you high and dry. And you turn around, where's the people that have my back? But if you submit to your authority in your home, God will teach you the things in the kingdom of God. He'll protect you and keep you. He'll protect you and keep you. In verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem into the highest stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, God, throw yourself down. Verse 9 is speaking about suicide. In other words, I may not know who you are, but if I kill you, since you don't want to submit to anything I also say, I'm going to get you to see if you would just listen to my influence and kill yourself. So suicide is a system that the enemy uses. He's using the system of your mindset. Causes you to want to quit. Causes you to want to jump. Take your life early. And never reach your full potential. Those are systems. Verse 13 says, and he left them until an opportune time. Oh, he's going to come back. And he's going to come back with a vengeance. He's going to come back wondering, how can we get them now? If I got his identity or her identity, they didn't want power, splendor, and they didn't want authority. How can I get them then? How many of you know what Egypt represents? Egypt represents the world system. The Israelites were in Egypt. What were they in Egypt? Slaves. What were they enslaved to? A taskmaster. Someone that always ruled over them, but would only give them enough for their work and their labor that they did, but never had enough to advance, to grow. So they stayed within a system that only gave them just a little bit. And only a little bit, never anything more than that. So within that system, Moses is the one that is sent in as a baby, sent in by himself, not with a mother and a father, but he was sent in alone to be raised up in that system, to actually have a place of notoriety and a position to understand the system on which the people that he originally came from were under. He didn't recognize it until an opportune time later, when he was ran out of Egypt because of something that took place. So when he got out of that system, what took place? His identity came back. He realized who he was. And when he realized who he was, he went back to that system to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Can we get back into the welfare system and say, let my people go? You're keeping them in bondage. You're keeping them. But see, what you're doing is allowing them to go out and mistreat their own children, leave them locked up in their home, chained to a fence, chained in the back to a tree. But you won't take the children away. But you'll take children away of people that are having to do other things for their kids. And you will turn the system around on the people that are trying. The system's broke. But we need a deliverer to go back in. What did Moses do? He delivered the people out of the system. But the system wasn't delivered out of the people. Got into the wilderness. When they got into the wilderness, what was Egypt? Egypt was still in them. Egypt was still in them, keeping them bound to everything that they once knew, everything that they had submitted to. All they knew to do is, I'm going to work hard for many, many hours, and I'm going to have someone tell me what to do because I don't know how to act on my own. So when freedom comes in, we don't know how to act because we've never had it. Are you seeing this? The system is broke. So what is Egypt? Egypt is a system that remains within the people of God sometimes because they're dependent on everybody else to bless them. But yet they don't want to become a blessing. Ooh. Ouch. Just pick up your feet because it hurts. It hurt me too. When Moses learned his identity, he was able to understand what his people were going through. But he didn't understand how it was going to be done. Egypt needs to come out of the system. Egypt was a system that kept people in. Kept them in bondage. Jericho was another system. Now here we see the Israelites come out of Egypt, go in the wilderness, wander for 40 years. You have a new generation that's coming and saying, I ain't going around this mountain like this again. I've been 40 years with all these folks here. But they don't realize that while they were in the wilderness for 40 years, not one of them got sick. Not one of their shoes wore out. That's what the Bible says. How is it that while you're in your wilderness experience that things don't wear out and you don't get sick? Nowadays, I got migraine. Because I'm in my wilderness. I start looking at things and say, I'm going through some things, God. Yeah, I can see why my body's manifesting. He says, your body's manifesting because you're not in my will. I said, God, I don't like that. What are you talking about? If I'm reading, fasting, praying, doing what you tell me to do, this should not be within me. I should not be walking with illness. I should not be walking with manifestations of sickness in my body. I should not be anywhere like the Israelites were in bondage of Egypt. I should be liberated from everything that's inside of me. He says, I'm going to take you deeper. So the enemy works within the system of Egypt, in the world system. In the world system, we sowed some seed in the world system, but we didn't realize it until later when we come out of it and we go through our deliverance and we start walking things out, that all of a sudden now a root shows up. Where'd that fruit come from? Where's that? What? That's not me. I don't respond that way. I'm a good person. That's not me. But a certain circumstance comes in and you respond the same way every time. It started off as a foothold. It's become a stronghold later because it came back at an opportune time. The enemy is using the system. What kind of system? Circulatory system. How many of you have known people that have blood disorders? You know, high blood pressure and this and that and anemic. And that. That's a system. That system the enemy works in. What about the system of your digestive system? When people have, you know, problems that are allergic to certain foods, certain things. It's a system. The enemy works in it. Jesus said, everything that I say is clean is clean. Don't say that it's dirty or unclean. It's clean to eat. I made everything provided for you to prosper. But if you don't take heed to it, somewhere along the line, a root's going to spring up. And what about another system that we don't really kind of look at is our parenting system. Rearing the children up. It works in that system too. Have you ever had someone that you just don't want to deal with? Like, I don't even want to tell you because then that means it's going to be a long, drawn-out discussion, long argument. Forget it. I'll just do it myself. Have we been there? Some of y'all looking at me like, yeah. Yeah, my husband's the same way. I got to deal with all this. If he just do what I told him to do the first time, we would have this problem. I get it, too. I wouldn't be mad if you'd have done it when I told you 2 months ago. It's a system. The enemy comes in that way. Marriage system. He comes in a whole bunch of times. I think sometimes I leave the door open, though. Come on, devil. Me and you can go play a little bit. I was just kidding. Get away. No, baby, I was. No. Jericho now is something on the promised land side where the Israelites come out of Egypt, come out of their wilderness. They've experienced so many miracles of God and so many provisions of God. And they cross over now, but they see something that they have never seen before. They see giants. How many times has your situation grown? Right? Well, I'll pay my cable bill next month. It's been 3 months. The only way you're going to know what's going on in this world is you better check that internet. Oh, wait a minute. It's connected together. So I can't just... He works in a system. The enemy works in a system that keeps you bound. Egypt. But now, here we are. Now we're in our freedom. And we're in our freedom. We come to the promised land. And now things become bigger than what they ever were before. Now, because we're facing giants now, we have to face this walled city called Jericho. Inside Jericho is everything that you need to get more and more than enough, because God has brought you into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. More for the provision and more for growth and more for you to continue on. Within this system of Jericho, but it's walled, it's keeping you out. See, and on this system, I believe, is where we're at right now in today's society. We've been walking around something, not doing anything about it. We've allowed it to be taunting us for many years. We've walked around this city that has everything inside. That system is a system of government. And if we were to take it over as a church, we could bring God back into the systems of the school, God back into the things of life, back into the marriage system. It's the promised land. But the first thing we got to do when we get into our promised land, we got to deal with the system. So now, one of the generation sons, Joshua, that was with Moses throughout that whole time, is now the one that says, okay, you know what? I'm going to do what God says. I don't care what all these folks say. I don't care about what the other 10 said. I know what I saw and I know what I want. Right? So here we go now. Goes around, walks around Jericho, walks around Jericho, walks around Jericho. What brought the walls down? A voice. A voice brought the walls down. That system in Jericho is where we can make change. If we bring those walls down in Jericho, our mindsets can change. A voice can be heard. And the people shout or bring fear within a system that's crooked. That's where the church needs to be. We need to lift up our voice. Babylon is another system. A system of imagery. Images. Babylon created the image and said, you will bow down to this image and worship it. How many people watch YouTube and watch all those new up-and-coming artists, and they're all on YouTube, and their imagery that's out there is that they want to be just like the superstars. And what they see on, I don't know, well, it's not MTV anymore. What is it? Just videos, music videos, whatever. They have all these big mansions and cars. It's not even theirs. It's rented. It's houses that, if they were to really pay attention, it's houses that have been used in other videos. But the imagery that is there is that, I got to get that. 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 I need more. I need more. I need more. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want to be like them. I need to have all the best new shoes that are out now. I need them because I got 20 Nikes in my closet. I need one more. Just give me one. But we want want more, we want more. We want the greatest and the nicest, the biggest phone. We need to have access to all of the social media. We need to have Twitter, Facebook, Periscope, Instagram, Snapchat. We need to have, what else? Kick. Kick? We need to kick all that stuff off of the phones. We need to get rid of all that stuff, because all that stuff is doing is causing our young generation to get caught up in things that they don't need to be caught up with. Why don't we go back to that old school phone? Huh? The one that, no, not even a cell phone, the one that's connected to the wall. The one that you got to pick up the phone and you got to dial. You got to memorize numbers. You got to memorize the contacts. You got to know where you at. Where you at? Oh, don't worry, I got her here on caller ID. I know you at Sister So-and-so's house. That's what we need to go back to. Why? Because we need reformation back in society, in this system. We need to go back to the way that God intended it to be, to put it back in its perfected order. And we, the church, need to walk things out the way He intended us to do it. And if you don't like the preaching that is going on in other places, that don't mean you get up and leave. That means you ask God, is that for me? Okay, then I'm going to deal with that issue. We got people jumping from church to church. Jumping from internet, all these preachers. Yo, that's my pastor. Oh, that's my father. That's my... You ain't got nobody if you ain't submitting. So, I mean, oh, I submit to this pastor. I submit to that pastor. You ain't submitted. Submit means you're going to go and labor and do the things that you don't want to do. And not say, well, I'll pray about it. No. If that's your answer, you just get up on out of here, because I'm not your pastor. People say, oh, wait a minute now. So wait a minute. You can't tell me I got to go do this, this, and that. Then I'm not your pastor. Then I'm not your pastor. You know what the role of the body of Christ is? It's to do the thing that God has called the shepherds to do, the pastors to do. Prophets, evangelists, apostles, teachers, preachers. They're the ones called of God. Because they're called of God, no one can take that away. God called them. But guess who calls the other workers? The ones that God called. So if I call you elder, I don't care what anybody else says. I call you. If I call you mothers of the house, I don't care what anybody else says. I said it. I chose. Oh, you don't like the fact that I'm pastor? Guess what? He don't care what you think. He called. So you think your opinion matters? Well, I don't like the way he preaches. I don't like the way he teaches. I don't like the way she teaches. I don't like what they're... I don't even like all the programs that they have at the church. They don't have nothing over there. Everything's so beige. They don't have any of the colors other than beige. I'll talk about it. Y'all think it. Everything just kind of just flows together. What happened? You got no designer in here. I do it for free. Then get up and do it. Guess who painted this place? Mwah! I'm just saying to just say. The system's broke. But how can we fix a system if we don't know where it got broke? It got broke at conception somewhere in your life. Someone spoke something that caused you to become negative and bring that negative fear within you, and it breeds other things. That negativity and fear breeds to have dissension, to cause division, to cause you to see things differently than what they are. It causes you to feel rejected, abandoned, and you're never accepted into the General Assembly, and people want to leave because you speak truth. That's the trick of the enemy. That foothold became the stronghold. But when you speak to the stronghold, now the people get offended. What you mean you're going to talk about something like that? Because you were talking about me. Because I saw the way you looked at me. You were talking about me when you said it. I know you were talking about me because you know what's going on in my life. So you're talking about me. Really? There's about 15 other people going through what you're going through. I love you. I love you. I'm just saying what I'm saying because it's out there everywhere. It's not in here.
It's everywhere, Josh. Not just here. It's everywhere. How are we going to fix what's broken if we don't know where it's broke? We got to troubleshoot. We got to figure out where the source is at. And it lies within the emotions of the people of God and the system of the church. Because the people out in the world want a safe place to run to, but they don't feel safe running to the church. I'm not bashing the church. I'm only speaking truth. The church should be there to encourage you, to hold you up, and tell you the truth. Well, I'm going through problems with my husband. Why? Well, you know, there's this other man that's giving me attention. Okay, you're wrong. But Pastor, you're supposed to love me. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You don't understand, I get bored and my husband don't do nothing, or my spouse don't do nothing with me. Make a date night. Walmart's a good date because you can go anytime. And it's free. Dream together. When I don't like window shopping, somebody else is looking in your window. Oh, man, did you feel that one? I need an armor bearer back because I felt all those darts. I know, 30 minutes over. I'm going to put it into this real quick. I'm going to just share a couple of verses out of Psalm 91. And I hope this helps you. Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust." To make the statement on verse 2, you must know that He is your God. You don't just say it, you must know it. When you know that He's your God, you'll trust the word that He has spoken. Verse 3, "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be a shield and a buckler." Woo! Let me just park real quick on 4, and then I promise. Not much longer. "He is your shield and your buckler." His truth is. What is he saying? Is that His word as a shield. A shield is to cover you. Let's see. Come here, Ryan. A shield is to cover you. Close battle. Hold up with your left arm like there's a shield. Okay, here's a shield. A shield is used for battle that's up close. That means that the Word of God is there in your up close battles. What is the shield really protecting? Put it down a little. Your heart. So what is the Word of God going to do? It's going to be this shield to protect your heart from the wounds that come from people. From the fiery darts that come from everybody. You know, they come. I felt them a while ago. Did you feel them? Because I felt them when I was talking about them. Okay, so the shield is there to protect your heart, protect your vital organs, protect it up close battle. Meaning that those that are around you, that are close to you, that you think are your friends, but they turn on you. Yeah, those. Oh, I got your back. We close. No, stay away from me because you're the one. You keep your enemies close to you because you don't even know when they're going to turn on you. So I got to keep the shield up. He says, but if you just know something, that my word is going to protect you. Right? That's the shield. It's close. But then this is what it says too. And a buckler. What is a buckler? Do you know what a buckler is? Here's the shield. It's something that covers just a portion. You can still hit him in the face. Right? His head is exposed. His feet are exposed. Right? Now what is a buckler? Y'all don't know what a buckler is? You can speak. Cover your whole front. This is what a buckler does. Can you see him? Okay, well, maybe not. Those are some nice kicks. Y'all like those? Okay, here's what a buckler is. A buckler covers the whole person. It is a shield that has been made through the skin that has been stretched over a wooden frame. Now, let me get a little bit prophetic with that itself. The wooden frame is humanity. The skin that is stretched over is because of a sacrifice. The sacrifice of Christ over the cross of humanity. I will cover you whole and complete with my word. With my word. Because some things have a tendency to get by you when you're not totally covered. And when it gets by you, he says, don't worry. If the buckler didn't stop it, which is, then my shield will cover you. That's what the word does. It covers you. It covers you in everything that you're going through, in everything that you ever face in life. The word of God protects you. It covers you. But you first have to know that he is your God. You have to say yes to Jesus and know that he is your Lord, that he is the one that is protecting you. It is his word that is going forth to protect those that believe in him and in his word. Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Watch this. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. He speaks of two things, speaking of fear, of terror. The terror that is out today, his word will protect you from it. Why? Because if fear begins to breathe, it'll break the system that you're in. It'll break the system of your identity in him. But if you put the word inside of you, it'll bring a mend to what was once broken and put you back into right standing. It'll bring reformation to you so that you no longer fear, but you have the reverence and fear of the Lord that will keep you. Nor the arrow that flieth by day. How many times have you had to face something in the day season of your life? You know, when you can see it coming, when you know it's coming, you know it ain't turning around. You're facing it and you know that at such and such time, if it ain't there, it's being cut off or you're going somewhere else. He says, my word is there for you. Verse 6, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth by noonday. Speaks again of the pestilence again. He makes it known that I don't care what kind of things that are out there in this atmosphere. I don't care what kind of terroristic attacks that come your way. I don't care if the water gets tainted. That's why when you pray for your food, know that what you're saying and what you're declaring over your food, that it is cleansing and it is removing anything that is foul and unclean, any poison will not harm you. We can't live in fear and think that everything that is happening today is going to take us out. Because his word says, if you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, then you know that he'll protect you and keep you. Sometimes you may feel like you're hiding somewhere, but everybody else is being dealt with. Maybe he put you in a place like he did under Moses. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. You may be having destruction all around you. Death wants to try to grab you. But under my hand, I will keep you. You'll be hidden so nobody can find you. I want to keep you because my word says that I watch my seed. I will keep you. I don't care what's going on in this world. I'm going to keep you. You may have somebody trying to kill you, but I'm going to keep you. I'm going to spare you. I may hide you in a closet. I may hide you under the bed. I may hide you somewhere. It is under my hand and under my wings that I hide you. And when I hide you, AIDS, cancer, I don't care what kind of disease, it will not get you. My word protects you. My word sets you free. I will keep you. I will hide you under the wings of the Most High God. I will gather you like the chicks of the hen. I will gather you under my wings. It don't matter what's going on in this world. It's not going to come near you.
A thousand may fall to your left and 10,000 to your right, but it will not draw nigh to you. Why? Because I trust His word. I trust Him. He's my Lord. He's my God. They may want to kill me. They wanted to kill Jesus. But He slept through the crowd. He went right through the crowd. He sneaked through. He got out. That's why it's not coming back. It will not manifest. It will not take them out. It's done away with. I blotted out. I removed the curse. I set my captives free. But you got to know you're set free. Walk it out. My word is the sword. It's double-edged. It's going to cut and it's going to divide. My truth will go out. We're going to bring peace, wholeness.
Thank you, Jesus.
It'll remove the curse that's been on your life. You won't be alone. You're going to be loved, comforted, and protected. You're not going to stay in this circumstance. You're not going to stay in this place. Reformation has come in. He's going to put us back to His original intent and put what was once broken and make it right the way He said it would be. That's the God that we serve. That is His word. If you're facing something that it seems to be getting bigger and bigger like the giants in the promised land, all you've got to know is that what is going to make this thing go away is your voice and your shout. It will bring the wall down. It will put an end to the thing that has been plaguing you. It'll put an end to the thing that has been trying to keep you captive and in bondage. Why? Because He is the I Am, the Almighty. He is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. He is answering to nobody. He is God all by Himself. All by Himself, He's God. He'll put an end to everything that has been coming against you. You blot it out. Hallelujah.
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 Woo! Hallelujah.
See, the God that we serve moves on your behalf because you said yes to God. Because you submitted unto God yourself. He works through your lineage for your family. Because when I didn't know God, it was because of my mama's prayers. It was because of my mom being on her face for me. It was because of the prayers of the righteous availeth much for me. The one that was not righteous. The one that didn't know Christ. The one that didn't know God whatsoever. The one that didn't want to come near unto the throne of grace and mercy. But because of the prayers of the mama. Because of the prayers of those of the righteous availeth much. You will see that the hand of God will be out there for those that you love. Those that you're praying for. There, He will send the angels that have charge over you to protect you, to keep you. That you will not, my God, this is the God that we serve. This is the God. It don't matter what's going on out in society and the systems. It's broke. It is broke. The judicial system is broke. The system is broke. But one thing that I know is forever true. And it'll stand forever is His word.
But then he tells me in Psalm 91 what his word does. It is a shield and a buckler for me. That it will take the fiery darts for me. And whatever pestilence or whatever disease may come, I don't care if AIDS or whatever is trying to come in, it is not going to take root. It will not take you out. I don't care if cancer has come from a lineage. It stops today. It is ended. It is over. The curse is reversed. You've been set free. Everything from diabetes all the way down has been set free at the cross. Don't let the devil try to take away your identity in Christ. You are God said you are. If you've been rejected from your father or your mother, you've been rejected from your family members, God has accepted you. You've been accepted into the royal family of God. And you must look past the pain and let God remove that root of pain, of rejection and abandonment, and know that He's accepted you into His kingdom. Accept and run into His arms. Run to His arms and know that He has you. Know that He has you. That's the God that we serve. That's who we serve. It hurts. Pain is real. Loss is real. But it's temporal. It's when we make it an idol and keep it in our life. We have to move on. We have to get up over. And we've got to cross over to what God has for us. So much more. So much more. Just stand to your feet as I close. And I know it's late. I apologize. But the system in which the enemy operates didn't just show up. It's been a process. It's worked its way through the lineage of the believers. It's worked its way through the church, worked its way through the government, it's worked its way through the economic system, the banking system. It's broke. The federal system is broke. It needs to be fixed. How can one person fix it? How can a people fix it? Here's the key, the Word of God. The Word of God. Truth. But the Bible says that all these things must take place before His return. All these things. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But you have to keep Psalm 91 in your heart to know that His word is there to protect you.